Hi, this is Lawrence Krauss, and you're listening to the CA.
I'm making the assumption that all of you check in every now and then with some kind of news outlet and have a view of what's going on in the rest of the world. Isn't it as plain as could be that those who commit the most callous, the most cruel, the most brutal, the most indiscriminate atrocities of all do so precisely because they believe they have divine permission? Shall I answer my own question? Shall I insult you by adding more? Who can't think of an example of this kind? Let me put the question in another form that I've put in now. Every forum from YouTube to C-SPAN to the wireless to the print to the radio to the television and innumerable forums to those who say that without God there can be no morality. You are to ask yourself two questions. You are to name a moral action undertaken or a moral and ethical statement made by a believer. I dare say you can do it. You are then to say that you can not imagine a non-believer making this moral statement or undertaking this moral action. Can you think, can you now think, can any of you think, don't have to answer now, you have all night, and you have my email. And I've done this with everyone from the Archbishop of Canterbury to even lower people. You name me the ethical and moral action or statement that a believer can make and an unbeliever cannot, and there's a prize. And I'll tell you that about that later. Now there's a second question. Think of something wicked that only a believer would be likely to do, or something wicked that only a believer would be likely to say. You've already thought of it. The suicide bombing community is entirely religious. The genital mutilation community is entirely religious. I wouldn't say that the child abuse community is entirely religious. I wouldn't. But it's bidding to be entirely religious. It operates on the old Latin slogan, no child's behind left.
Welcome to The Canadian Atheist, a podcast about news, current events, and commentary on all things atheism from a Canadian perspective. Now, if this podcast carries the explicit tag and wears it like a motherfucking badge of honor, so if you get offended, you might want to switch off. The CA records each week live from Apostasy Studios. Why not join in the discussion? Find us on Facebook, email us at theca@rogers.com, or follow us on the old Twitter machine at @the_CA_podcast. If we're amused or tweaked by your stuff, we just might even use it on the show. And now, here are Michael and Dean.
All right, here we go. Welcome to CA. Today is Sunday, August 2nd, 2020. I am Michael. Sadly, Dean is not able to be here. As we've said before, as young kids, they ruin everything. We blame them. But luckily, today for the show... Oh, I should also say this is episode 115. Today, I'm really excited about today because... on the show, we've got Rib, who, as you're aware, in talking through all the different stuff, was my tag team debate partner for now three debates on modern day debate, which have been buckets of fun. And also, we have Rib's...
That's a way of saying it, yeah.
What's that?
That's a way of describing it, yeah.
It's a way. I'm glass half full. I'm doing very glass half full.
Okay. Okay.
And then also with us is Rib's call-in show partner / podcast partner / YouTube partner, Kevin. So, Rib and Kevin, welcome to the Canadian Atheist.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. We've got, I didn't prepare, just for everybody listening, I didn't prepare any news or anything because we got a metric fuck ton of stuff to talk to without need of any other stuff. Besides, it'll just give us excess for all the dumb shit Christians say, and we'll just add it on to the next show. There's no shortage, guys. There's no shortage, ever.
I doubt that.
Yeah. So okay. So let's get into this first. Kevin, nice to talk to you for the first time. We met officially about 8 minutes ago, guys.
We did. We did.
So
I've seen plenty of correspondence going back and forth because I don't know if you're aware of that, Michael, but I have accessed that email as well, the RAB email. So I've seen the behind the scenes a little bit. So you're a very patient.
Yeah, all
person.
Of the kind of setting up of the debates and everything else. Yeah.
Right.
Michael, you're a phenomenally patient person. I've seen that in the back and forth. So fair play to you for that.
So I'm going to get my wife up here so she can hear you say that. because that's not the overwhelming consensus, no. I kid. But she certainly puts up with a lot of my bullshit. Here's hoping that vulgarity is okay on your channel because I've already dropped the F-bomb a bunch of times.
Oh, God, yeah.
Good. Sweet.
You joke me, we're Irish. It's like part of our language.
Well, yeah, there you go. Yeah, and for everybody who's listening, we are, we're having a conversation in English, even though some may argue that Irish isn't English. It's funny. I had said to Rib before that my niece is now engaged to a man. His name is Ronan Shannon, and to that Rib said, "Fine Irish name." And yeah,
tis a fine Irish name.
Yeah. Tis.
And but it's funny because I've seen their family get together, and I need the fucking Star Trek Universal Translator. Can't understand a fucking word they're saying, because it's like house music, right? When the house music starts, it's not necessarily high, but then it gets into the higher beats per minute, and within what I've noticed, when you get a bunch of Irish people together talking, the words per minute go up.
Yeah, 10%. And like speak very quickly.
What the fuck did you just say? is common for us when we're having these discussions. So, hey, this is also a first time everybody listened to the CA. We are right now simulcasting onto Rib and Kevin's YouTube channel. So this is going to be super interesting because never done that before. So yet another opportunity for people to see my ugly mug. But getting out there in another platform. And I will say for Rib and Kevin, welcome to our worldwide audience. I ran some metrics just this week, and the last three episodes, it was actually four because I did one with Shannon, my wife, last week. Because Dean and I weren't able to get together again, but the average for the debates that the three debates we did, we averaged downloads from 97 countries, and an average of just over 11,700 downloads per.
Shit.
So I was really happy about that.
Very well done.
And that's I'm hoping that that it drives a lot of traffic to you guys, and I'm also hoping it drives a lot of traffic to James. Because James is awesome and I love him.
Yeah. Big ups for you having us nobodies on your channel. So we do appreciate it.
Well, it's funny. Almost everybody's heard this before, but I'll say it again for people that may not be aware that are going to be seeing it through your channel. We started this little thing a little over 3 years ago, and we got really lucky early on. Most people are aware of Armin Navabi, who's the head of the Atheist Republic Facebook page. I met him at Imagine No Religion 7 in Toronto a few years back, and he came on the podcast, and then he blasted our podcast out to his worldwide audience, and that's why it exploded at like it did. So huge, huge thanks to him, and he was on Modern Day Debate just a few days ago. He was debating whether or not... white fragility exists. No, whether or not white privilege was a thing.
I was just going to say, because the white fragility thing was the Milo.
Which is upcoming. I think it had something to do. Yeah, I think it was white
Milo
privilege.
Milo Yiannopoulos is back. He's doing a debate on MDG. Yeah, it's the date might be wrong, but I think it's the 7th or 8th.
So I think
like
you're right.
Only in like a couple of days. Yeah.
Has he done anything in the past 3 years?
I don't think so.
Yeah. No.
Since he got cancelled off everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he did kind of drop off. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see him back. I'm curious as to what he has to say. I mostly don't care, but I'll be curious to what he has to say. But anyway, that's kind of the background on how we got going. And we've been fortunate enough to have some great guests on the program. Mm-hmm. Anybody who's watching your YouTube, you can send us an email to ca@rogers.com. Love to have you on, especially if you happen to be a believer. Love listening to deconversion stories and getting into a little bit of that. And also if you're a non-believer and you have something like a YouTube channel or something or a podcast you want to promote, come on and we'll talk about that too. So, So, Rib, Kevin, let's jump into the fuckery that was the last three debates.
Yeah.
Do you want to go in? Do you want to go in order, like 1, 2, 3, or?
Yeah, I think we should do them in order. We should tackle the first one, then the second one, then the third one, because I kind of had. I personally, I don't know how you felt, Michael. Kevin, I know that I'm sort of excluding you. I know that you were just a viewer, and you probably had like different reactions to all of them. But I definitely did kind of walk away from all three with like different reactions or different takeaways, I guess.
Yep.
For the first one, I thought it went very, very well. I was extremely nervous at the start, only because like it was the first debate that I had done on MDD.
Right.
And Kevin was there, and he was watching, and I had messaged him after my opening, and I was just like, I'm just ridiculously nervous. I'm kind of freaking out a little bit, and Kevin was just like, you know, just picture or try and put yourself in like these are just two callers into the show. And after that, like instantly I just like completely relaxed and was just like, right, okay, look, at this is, you know, just try and fake it till you make it sort of a thing of just like, this is not a big deal, it's nothing, it's just have the conversation. So
I thought you did very well, to be honest, in the first one. Like obviously there were those jitters right at the start, but once you got past that, you flew it like, so.
Yeah, I mean, it had only been my second time on MDD. And the first time was with Darth Dawkins, and I'm not sure how much that counts. because because he's a fuckstick of epic proportions. It was very interesting, and it was funny because in all the chatter we had beforehand, because you know we would go, and for anyone who's not been on MDD before, basically you log into the Zoom call. And you know, everybody kind of chats for a few minutes before James goes live, and it's interesting because there was almost a sense of camaraderie, especially prior to the first debate. Rib, you had said, "Oh, you know, here's hoping after this, you know, we can all sit down and have a pint or something." Like you said something to that effect, right?
Yeah.
And after the third debate, I was like, "Fuck you guys! I never want to see you again." And very much like that, I wouldn't piss on the best part of those two. And because we wouldn't be able to find the best part of either of them, but it was unbelievable. Like, I mean, we went from this degree of camaraderie to in the third debate, I'm anti-Semitic and I'm racist.
Yeah,
and a rape apologist. And a rape apologist.
And you were the rape apologist, weren't you? I was too.
Yeah.
Holy
yeah,
fuck! I didn't know that.
Both of us. Yeah. He called us. What was it like? Defending rape culture or something like that, he had said. And then both of us asked, which is like, when did we defend rape? Like, it literally never even came up. Like, you're the first person who brought up rape culture.
Yeah.
So, like, how you're, like,
Well, let's switch back to the first one. So, I mean, I think it was interesting. One of the interesting parts of it was we hadn't really, like, we collaborated a little bit beforehand, but I don't necessarily think we found our stride until the beginning of the second one. I believe it was still very well done. The takeaways that I got from the first debate for me was they didn't at all demonstrate a fucking God exists.
Yeah.
Like period, end of sentence.
Yeah.
And I was also surprised that none of them pounced on me for saying your God doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And I was surprised by that. And I think actually when we chatted afterwards, you're like, I can't believe they didn't go after you for that. Hindsight being what it is, I think I've come to an understanding as to why they didn't do that. And it's because neither one of them has a fucking idea what the Bible says. And I read the Bible all the fucking time. And not one of the, so John didn't bring up the Bible in the first two at all.
No.
And all Smokey said was how I was misquoting it and was misusing it, but didn't actually have the capacity to demonstrate how or when I did that.
Yeah.
And I love the Bible because I can, unlike those guys, became pretty obvious. The only chapter and verse they can quote is what they've been spoon-fed in church. Yeah. That's all they've got. Mm, mm. And what I typically say is everyone can quote John 3:16. but not everybody can quote Matthew 10:34. And most Christians I know can't quote Matthew 10:34 because it's a sticky one. It's one where it says, do not think I've come to bring peace. I've not come to bring peace, but a sword. And that's, you know, anyone where it gets tricky, or Luke 14:26, where it says, if you don't hate your family and hate everybody, you can't be my disciple. Those are sticky verses for Christians because they have to say, oh fuck, this is Jesus talking and he's not being super nice. But after the first debate, I found that there was this, and it's funny because I did, like I said at the beginning of the second debate, I did what I did in the last one with purpose, because there was no way I was going to let them get away with a generic deity, which is all they wanted to fight for. All they wanted to fight for
was
a generic deity.
Yeah.
What were some of your thoughts?
I was kind of frustrated because the motion of the first debate was, does a God exist?
Yeah.
And the fact that, like, we kept saying, well, okay, so a God, well, which God? And they just wouldn't say that it was theirs or that it was any other other God. They were, like, desperate to kind of defend this deistic entity.
Yeah.
Rather than their God, to the point where we had to have round two just for them to defend their God, like the God that they believe in.
Yeah.
Which was just very, very odd to me, because, like, if you're there debating that motion, I mean, like, surely you should be there defending the existence of the God that you believe in.
Well, it's also wholly unbiblical, right? 1 Peter 3:15 is really clear. Be prepared to give a defense for the faith that lies within you, and do so different. Some say with gentleness and respect or kindness and stuff like that. Different versions say different things. But and when I threw that up at them, all Smokey said was, you know, well, oh, you know, I'm never going to let a secularist tell me what my Bible says. Like, all right,
okay, cool. So then open your Bible and turn to that chapter and then tell me what it says, because obviously I can't do it because I'm a secularist, so I can't do it. So you tell me what it says then.
Yeah, I love how I'm everybody on my YouTube on your YouTube channel is going to see me as like some kind of like ghost drifting in and out of dark and light. Unfortunately,
if they just tuned in, we're like talking with fucking Anonymous right now.
Yeah. He's giving evidence on the recent debate.
Exactly. So what's funny is that obviously we
smoke is heard.
Yeah, the front of the house faces west, and so I could put like a curtain up or something, but that would take way more energy than I have. And I also like to try to maintain natural light. And everybody knows this for the snakes that I have. I like to maintain natural light for them as well. So that's why I don't do that. But so, Kevin, here's a question for you. How was it for you as a spectator?
Okay, so the first one, I tried to approach it with an open mind, because obviously I'm biased towards yourself and Stephen on this one. But as I kind of progress more and more through it, I got the impression that they said that they were Christians and whatever and believers, but the way that their argument didn't make it seem so. It just made it seem like they're just in a point scoring mission. Yeah. They weren't trying to convince anybody of anything. They're just trying to accumulate as many gotcha points as possible on really tiny little minutiae of details. And that was where I ended my impression on the first debate. And this only kind of grew in magnitude throughout the debates. For in the last one, as you mentioned, they're even going ad hominem attacks for out of no reason.
Yeah.
And it was just, it really looked bad on them towards the end. Like as Stephen said, even from a viewer perspective, I was an awful lot more sympathetic towards them towards the start of it, because, you know, it is debate. You're there to score points to an extent. But then, especially when they opened up their arguments with the second debate, launching into the absolute minutiae of genetics and genetic codes and coding, and it's like, okay, so at what point are you going to start proving that the Christian God exists with any of this?
Yeah.
And then, but they it was like they eventually tried to circle back to it. That's the impression that they gave, but they never actually would. They just skirt around the issue the whole time. So I know that they're a very disingenuous bunch of people, as far as I can tell. And I'm glad it was you that had the debate and not me, because I don't think I could have held my tongue. Couldn't have held my tongue with those two people.
It was interesting. Sorry, Rib, what were you going to say? Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, because obviously I kind of know Kevin, and like Kevin is, for the call-in show that we do, he's the most patient person that I know. It's not just kind of like out of handiness sake that like we've been friends for 11, 12 years. It's just because like of Kevin's personality that he is so like ridiculously patient, and like even when someone will come on and they'll, you know, try and say that like, oh, that the Bible says that there was, you know, giants that lived that they believe this and they like take it seriously, and like Kevin kind of gets a little bit like fascinated by it, and he's like, yeah, but like tell me more, and go in and like,
yeah.
So he'll kind of entertain the bullshit to a certain extent, but there's a very fine line that as soon as that's crossed, it's like, no, Kevin, just like, you will kind of turn on them a lot. And so, yeah, I think that kind of fine line was definitely passed maybe like midway through the second debate. So definitely, no, Kevin, if you were in that third debate, you
know, I wouldn't have done well. like Michael, how many logical hoops do they have to jump through to accuse you of being an anti-Semite in their head? Like, I was like, if there was an international fucking mental gymnastics competition, they'd get the gold medal every fucking time. Like,
it's funny. It was essentially just because I think if I can follow the bouncing ball rattling around in their heads, I think it was because I believe their God doesn't exist. Therefore, I'm not attacking their God. I'm attacking the people who wrote the Bible. Those are the Jews. Therefore, I hate Jews. I got nothing.
Makes perfect sense, obviously.
I got nothing else. Which is funny. And again, hindsight being what it was, what I should have said was, okay, well, let's talk about this, because it's like so much of the Bible that we have now isn't even what was around, you know, from those manuscripts from millennia ago. It's all been rewritten and everything else like that. And so how much of it is even left over that is actually Jewish authorship, I don't know. But it was, and actually I sent an email to Dr. Josh Bowen, who I mentioned in the third debate, who's been on the podcast as well, who has a PhD in Assyriology, which I didn't know what the fuck that was either. It's the study of the ancient Near East. And I asked him about this, and he hasn't gotten back to me yet because he's had some stuff going on. But I said, you know, can you tell me from a historical perspective now, how much of what we have left can still be ascribed to Jewish authorship? And I'm waiting to hear back from him what he says. As far as that goes. But yeah, and that was where I completely lost my shit. And I'm surprised James didn't jump in after I told Smokey to go fuck himself. Because, you know, I thought it was interesting. But one of the other interesting points for me was how many times, it must be difficult for John Maddox to exist in a world where everyone is dumber than he is. Because I don't know how many times, I should have had a clicker of how many times he called us idiots, and how many times, I mean, all the other Christian, lovely Christian things he said. But it must be just, and then during the third debate, he even attacked James and said, oh, James, you know, if you don't know this stuff, you should even, it's like, holy fuck, dude. But but we have to take it easy on him, because it must be hard for him being the smartest person in the world, clearly.
Must be. Smartest and the smokest person in the entire world.
There is literally not a smugger person that. I want to preface this by saying that we have had not just one but two, and a combined total. Okay, so I'm kind of separating myself from you, Kevin, only because like I've had three and you've had two. But a combined total of, I'd say, first time he called, you know who I'm talking about, or like you can at least kind of infer. The first time that he called into the show, what was he on for? About like an hour and a half, maybe?
About that, yeah.
Yeah. So given the fact that I was talking to him for an extra 20 minutes, basically just short of 2 hours, I spoke to Darth fucking Dawkins, and John Maddox is the smuggest person I have ever had the displeasure of ever speaking to.
That is... Okay, now, also having... Being someone who has interacted with both of them, that's astonishing.
Yeah.
And it's funny because one of the things that I said, like, we had, I guess it's going on 2 years ago now, we had Cy Ten Brugencade on as well.
Say that was fun.
Well, no, what was interesting was because, so he's a fellow Canuck, right? He only lives about 2 hours from where we are. So as I was trying to set it up, this is before the whole non sequitur show debacle. A year and a bit ago. So I was talking to, at that time it was still Kyle. I was talking to Kyle and saying, I'm trying to set up a conversation with Cy. Would you want to host it? And he was like, and he responded with two words, fuck yeah, in all caps. So I started talking to Cy and everything like that. And he said, listen, he said, you're local. He said, I do so many of these things online. He said, but you're local. If I'm going to be on your show, I'm coming to you. So Cy sat 3 feet from me in a chair you can't see right now in our studio. So it was the three of us having a conversation. And what I will say is, I mean, one, he is, I mean, I couldn't disagree with someone any more than I disagree with someone like Cy or Darth or something like that. I believe he is absolutely wrong. But I do not believe that Cy is dishonest. I believe that he absolutely firmly believes this stuff. Whereas I think people like Darth Dawkins, I think they know they're fucking lying. I think Kent Hovind knows he's fucking lying. And I think John Maddox and Smokey also know they're lying. They're just bullshit.
They're just out to get points. Like that's all they're doing. Like, they're debating for fun to get points. Yeah. Internet notoriety, like that's what they're doing.
But when we sat here with Cy during some of the conversation, he actually teared up. Like when he was talking to us about what I was doomed for in hell and stuff like that, because of what it says in Mark 3:29, having blasphemed the Holy Spirit, like I'm fucking done, according to what he believes. And he actually tears welled up in his eyes because when we were talking about it, and I said, you know, I've already done this, and tears welled up in his eyes at the thought of there's nothing I can do for you. You're already lost. And so even though I believe he's absolutely wrong, I believe he is genuine and honest in his approach. Yeah. And now that same impression could not be further away from my mindset when it comes to people like Darth and when it comes to people like John and Smokey. I was joking around before with people. So, you know, I don't trust people that don't show themselves on video and stuff like that. I can understand why from an anonymity perspective, you may need to do something like that. But I now understand why Smokey hides himself because of the shit he says. It's just unbelievable. The things that he says, Kevin, I'd be curious to get your input on this because during the third debate, he actually, the words left his mouth. Rib and I asked him, we asked him the question almost simultaneously, would it ever be ethical to own another person as property? And he fucking said yes.
Yeah.
He fucking said, the easiest fucking question to answer in the world. Yeah. Should you ever own a person? And I think you beat me to it. Like the only answer is no. The only answer is no. And he fucking said yes.
Yeah, well, it was when we had asked him, was slavery moral? Or did he think that slavery was moral? And when he said yes, I swear to Christ, I flung back on this chair that I am sitting in so much. I almost fell backwards and fucking embarrassed myself in front of everybody on fucking my... And some people had kind of said that, like, I was, like, playing that bit up... For laughs, I swear to God, it wasn't. It was an honest to Christ reaction. And Kevin, you know me, so you know that it was. But it's just like as you said, it's the easiest question in the world. Is it moral to own another person as property? The only correct answer is no.
Yeah,
it's no. And he said yes, so it was literally just that. Like what? the fuck?
I think I just
put my head in my hands. I think you went back and I went forward at it. Because just like...
Smokey had, from an audience perspective, he had a weird little character arc over the three episodes, the three debates.
Yes.
Because he started off being like the the reasonable Christian. Maybe that's just because he's juxtaposed against John fucking Maddox. Like, but I don't know. He started off kind of reasonable and something you could talk to and maybe, I don't know, maybe arrive at some sort of agreement or acknowledgement that yes, we have our differences, but we see where we're coming from. And he just fell off cliff. Like, he actually just fell off cliff and ended up, as he said, being accusing people of being rape apologists, of being anti-Semites, and saying that it could be borrowed on a human being. Like, so, like, how did this happen? Like, what was his mindset in this all this, like?
Yeah,
it's a mystery. But Kevin, like you had said it perfectly. Like, he did come off so reasonable in that first debate. Like, like, you know, reasonable to an extent.
He still believes there's a fucking man in the sky. Like, so we have to put big quotes under reasonable.
Reasonable apart from that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
But
fair.
Because I sent it off of the shared email, Kevin, you can go back and check this. I sent Smokey an email asking him would he call into the show, because I thought that he was that reasonable that we could actually
have
a conversation. More recently, and I don't care about sharing this because it was what I had said as well. Kevin, you have much more of a kind of announcer's voice than I do. So if you want to just kind of very, very quickly shoot up the shared email there, it was a few days ago, and it was between Smokey and me. The topic is debate. There's four emails in there. If you just kind of want to...
Okay, I'll bring it up there now.
Well, this is exciting. Yeah, read these.
Okay. Yeah, so I'll read out the one that I sent him, Kevin, if you kind of want to get out the one that...
He got back.
Yeah, that he got back.
You go ahead too.
Okay, so the one that I sent was, hi Smokey, I was wondering if you wanted a debate on a neutral YouTube channel, officially moderated, 1v1 on the motion, is there sufficient reason to believe the Christian God exists? It's different enough than the last two debates.
Absolutely, kinda, for sure, yeah.
I said, if you want to take me up on the offer, then shoot me back, and if not, then I guess I'll know your answer. And what he came back to me with was,
I'm so sorry, I dropped the ball. I'm finding it difficult to find this.
It should just be there. It's the first couple.
Is it just called debate? The email train.
Debate. Yeah. The email exchange. Yeah, and
I would have done this. Am I on the right track?
Yep.
Okay. I would have done this with you. You could have done one of two things after our debate. You could have recessed and concluded on some of your disgusting, contradictory perspectives. Or you could troll me to try and act like I didn't completely annihilate you. Shallow, low-thinking, bigoted perspectives. Well, you decided to troll me and troll me in live debates on MDD. If you want a dialogue, you should have gone about it differently.
I just want to pause you very, very quickly right there. So the last debate that he did against, I can't even think of the chap's name, but it actually went for Smokey as far as like ad homs went and stuff like that. It was actually like relatively ad hom free. But I had sent in three super chats.
I saw
the very, very start, and I sent one at the end. So the first one was, why do you ad hom? Like, why do you call people names? Why do you? And I think I gave like three different examples. He did a tag team with it was himself and CJ versus T Jump and Skylar Fiction.
Yeah,
and he ended up calling Skylar
Homo Santa. Yep,
because Skylar has like he's a relatively big guy and he has like a big beard and it's like out here, so it does sort of look, and it's white as well, so it did sort of, I can kind of see where he's coming from, but it was just a homo bit. It's just like Jesus Christ, you're fucking, you're homophobe on top of everything else.
But that's where the true colors came through. It's funny. One of the things I always reference when I'm talking about this is my wife. Whatever whatever you're talking to someone and you get their first reaction, it's usually their most honest reaction.
Yeah.
So when Smokey said that, those were his true colors shining through.
Yeah.
He's a fucking homophobic bigot asshole.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so there's no ambiguity in that at all. He tried to rein it back and say, "Oh, I meant to say this." Then he's just fucking lying.
Yeah.
He said exactly what he meant to say.
Mm. And also, like, the carry-on he has, like, it just detracts from what he's trying to say as well. So it hurts him as much as anything else, like.
Oh, but he doesn't see it that way.
Exactly. Yeah, he doesn't see it that way. But, like, yeah, but, like, we can see it how
all rational people, yeah, obviously, it's just make them seem like a bigot.
And it's funny, I don't want it to come across like, you know, we are these, you know, exemplars of everything that is, you know, good and rational and sane and just and stuff like that. But when you're talking about things that are so clear cut, like homophobia and things like that, then I have no problem standing aloft that platform and calling myself superior to him. I won't, you know, maybe I won't in other things, but when it comes to something like that, I have no problem taking that stance and saying, you know, I am morally superior to you, you know, because I would never say disgusting things like that or hold disgusting beliefs like that.
Yeah. So I like kind of said that and Smokey had said, oh, that like I was getting triggered or something like that because like he had said some like, you know, off color things or something like that.
Yeah.
The second one that I had said was, you know, I mean, like, why do you point out the fact that your opponents are bringing up bad arguments? Surely if your opponents actually are bringing up bad arguments, like bad arguments are by definition easier to debunk than very good arguments. So if they're easier to debunk, then surely you should just be doing that, not calling them bad arguments. And so it was like basically just kind of like, why do you do that? The last one that I had sent in was something along the lines of Smokey, you just can't help but like, just wait and see if I can get the list right now. Dodge, duck, dip, dive, and dodge.
Yeah.
Can you? And he pointed out the fact that it was a dodgeball reference, which I'm younger than Smokey, so I'm kind of, you know, happy that he got that one. But yeah, so like after that, he called me a troll because I sent him in three super chats. So I was like, what the fuck, dude?
I was in the audience. I did watch that, but I purposely didn't want to. I didn't comment on it at all. I just kind of sat there and watched. I wanted to try to just pull myself back from it and just try to watch it objectively. Didn't work all that well, but I did refrain from the comments and stuff like that. It was just I found the whole thing very interesting, and I sent Tom T-Jump an email just in that you can't comment on Tom's Twitter. You can't send him messages. He has it set up that way. So I sent Skylar a Twitter message just saying, you know, good job. And I sent Tom an email saying, you know, bravo. Because his opening line about, you know, being an immoral monster and everything else like that, I just sat back and I was just like,
yeah, brilliant.
You know,
brilliant.
Yeah, very, very, very well done the way that whole thing went. So then if we go to, if we fast forward to the second debate, how did, you know, tell me some of your thoughts on that.
I'm actually just going to leave it over to the two of you to kind of comment first. I desperately have to pee.
Oh, so, yeah, fire away.
Yeah, I'll just go for two moments.
Cool. So, right. Yeah, I'm now the co-owner of the Rib YouTube channel. Cool. So, okay, so from a spectator's perspective, Kevin, give us your thoughts on that.
Sure. So obviously in the first debate, it was obviously just religion versus non-religion, essentially, what it boiled down to.
Yeah.
And then through great efforts, I remember the email chain, we narrowed it down to the specific wording of the second one.
Yeah.
Which was specifically against the Christian God. And it struck me that they still didn't reference the Bible or try to use any specific references as to why the Christian God, why there was evidence of said God, even though that was the agreed terms of that debate.
Yeah.
They tried to, even when it was not nailed down to it, they tried to keep it broad because by keeping it broad, that's the only way they still have any semblance of making any kind of decent argument.
Yeah, it was interesting because when they started that out, again, Maddox did the first opening bit about trying to relay the foundation of God. And then apparently Smokey was going to come in and say, and here's why it's the Christian God. And I sat there, you know, like a starving man waiting for him to actually, okay, but you still haven't said anything yet.
No, he never got around to it.
Yeah. There was never one bit. I mean, John went back to, and I referenced the third debate in my opening. I'm like, I wonder how he's going to try to tie 500,000 base pairs into this. Cause it doesn't have fuck all to do with anything.
Their proof of the Christian God was nitpicking minutia of science that supported their claim, like, and never actually relaying it. And that's why the Christian God is that. They didn't do the second part ever.
Yeah.
They just did enough to throw some degree of shade against what you were about to say. But they didn't do anything to support their own point. They just talked nonsense.
Yeah. No, very true. Thoughts, Rib?
I kind of felt that was a recurring theme across the three debates, was that, they just kind of said stuff, and they acted as though they've, you know, destroyed our arguments or whatever other words that they used, but they never actually kind of, like, did. It was sort of like, you went out to dinner and you had the starter, but you didn't have the main course or the dessert. You kind of started it, but you never followed through. You know what I mean? Like, you never had the rest of it. So, it was just odd that was one of the main themes that was kind of coming across.
Did you ever go back and look at some of the comments? I did.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And one of the things that I found interesting was one of the overwhelming themes within the comments section was, can't you find better Christians?
Mm. Yeah.
I found that very interesting. And I'm not going to dog James at all, for that. No. I mean, it's, you know, there's a forum that James has set up for people that have been on his platform multiple times. And you can go in and you can say, okay, here's, you know, suggest a topic and put your name next to it and stuff like that. So that's how the four of us, you know, kind of got paired together, right? Mm. And it was just, but I don't know that I've ever seen two Christians reference Christianity so seldom in a Christian debate.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
They just didn't even, like, none, like, of them went near the Bible. None of them went fucking near the Bible. And I'm no biblical theologian. I only play one on TV, but. You know, I mean, I can sit there and I can go, you know, at least toe to toe for a degree of time with people when it comes to scripture. And it's like, they didn't want to go there. They didn't want to talk about the Bible, which is odd for Christians.
Yeah. Their goal was entirely to just refute what ye were saying, as opposed to making any decent point about their own claims.
Yeah.
It was all attack and no building up your own position.
Yeah.
That's all it was.
Yep. Agree. Okay. So then if we move on to the third lovely,
our debate. Yeah.
Part of the interaction.
The third debate, kind of going into it, I will say that I was on probably my worst behavior. Because I knew that it was the last one, and I knew that it was, like, one of the last times. I had kind of gone into this one thinking, I'm never going to talk to John again. Like, if James comes back and says, you know, like, will you do a 1v1 or a 2v2 or something, but, you know, like, John is there, I'm going to be, like, I'm going to be extremely hesitant to do that, just because, like, I would kind of see that as, like, a form of self-harm. Of just, like, I know what this is going to be, and I know, like why would I do it to myself, you know? Just, like, why would I do that? So,
conversational equivalent of running headfirst into a concrete wall.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. having left it, I now know that I will never want to speak with Smokey ever again.
Yeah.
So I instantly kind of pulled him up on bullshit. I was making comments. I called him a dumbass like several times throughout the debate. I said it somewhat quietly though, so I don't actually think that it was like picked up. But there was just kind of like several stuff like that where I was just like, you know what, it's the, you know, last in the trio, so fuck it. I'm just going to be...
From a viewer perspective, what struck me was how often James had to intervene.
Yes.
Oh my God. Like, I've seen a good few of modern day debates, like videos. And has he ever intervened as much as with these two fuckwits? Like,
I don't think so.
No, I don't think
I genuinely don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so.
They couldn't keep...
I've watched entire debates where James just sits there and just watches the live chat.
Yeah.
Because he, like, the two people are like, generally respectful. They might, you know, they might, like, overtalk or something like that, but... Like, you know,
nobody
for the most part, they're kind of well behaved, and they'll be, you know, courteous to who they're talking to and stuff like that. But no, it was the it was the fact that it was Smokey who went to say something, and James just said, "Hold on a sec, I'm talking still." But I was just like,
"Yeah." Yeah, he did that with Maddox once too. He's like, you know, I'm still talking. And I could not be more projecting than this. But having when James was on the podcast earlier this year, and I reached out to him because just of what a genuine human being he is. Mm. He is, you know, he's one of those people. Like there are a few people that I've interacted with that I think to myself, if this guy Jesus, and I'm not necessarily convinced either way that he was a real person, and I don't think it matters, but James is one of those people that I really believe in his real life tries to exemplify those attributes and properties. Like, he really tries to be, to apply the, principle of charity, to be, accepting and forgiving and accommodating these types of things. And I think, and again, total projection, but I think there was a degree of, I can't believe you guys are representing Christianity. I'm a Christian and I'm embarrassed that you're doing this. Because of how, you know, and it's a kind of a trigger word in 2020, but because of how deplorable they were in their mannerisms, in their conduct and everything else, that I think he lost patience with them fairly early on in round three.
They just didn't have any manners, like, let alone anything else, let alone the content. At the very basic, there's no manners on them. I'm sorry, that's a very Irish kind of thing to say, like, but they don't, nobody taught them how to have a conversation. Like, you let the other person finish to a degree. I know it's debate. I know there's going to be a bit of cutting over and all that, but fuck me, like, that, fuck John Maddox for like cut over every other word that you tried to say, like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is when, because, like, I had kind of picked up on that, especially in round two, that he did kind of tend to kind of cut off people. And again, it was just because it was the last debate of our trio, where I kind of said to myself going into it, if he interrupts me, I'm going to call him out. Like, I'm going to call him out, which is why, like, there was like several times where I was just like, I'm still talking. I'm still talking.
Yeah.
And like kind of forced James to moderate, but like to say, carry on. Like, it was weird. Like this is going to sound like an odd sentence, but it was weird to see James moderate. Cause there's been several debates where, as I said, he does just sit there and just watch the live chat.
Yeah.
And it was just weird to actually see him moderate when you've seen how good it can go. That'll be the kind of opposite of it. Yeah. No, it was just odd.
And I think it's because, like I said, he realized that they didn't have the capacity to offer any kind of principle of charity. And it's like when I, you know, it's like at one point, you know, when I asked them to, you know, to try to steel man our position, and they wouldn't even, they wouldn't even try. They didn't even try. You know, and so, and I think when you see things like that, it's like you're, I've heard other people say this a lot of times, but you know, when you're talking, it's like, oh, I'm sorry. Did the middle of my sentence interrupt the start of your sentence? Start of
yours, right? Yeah. I've used that line so many times.
You know, and things like that, where it's just like, you know, and there's no, there's none of that. There's none of that give and take. And it was a, if anything, it was a clear example of de-evolution throughout the three, you know, throughout the three talks.
It really was, really was.
You know, and, you know, toward the, in the third one and been like, I pound on your chest. But if I would have been in the same room with Smokey when he called me anti-Semitic, you know, he would have been counting teeth. It, you know, which is, you know, like, oh, and I'm sure he'll see this and hears him go, oh, here's, you know, but which is, you know, and again, I'm just saying it just to be, you know, just to be, controversial, but it's just, I can't, that's one thing that I won't. That I won't put up with, you know, is when someone says, you know, like, because those are, you know, it's like, you know, it's like during the Inquisitions being called a witch, right? That's all that had to happen. You were called a witch and you had to defend yourself and you couldn't defend yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you were set aflame. And in times like, you know, in the times we're in now, to call someone anti-Semitic, to call someone racist, you are automatically, you can be forced on the defensive, especially when people don't know you. And that's why I preface what I said, you know, it's like anyone who really knows me knows that I don't feel this way. So it was, you know, that calmed me down a little bit, but it was really, really frustrating to watch that bouncing ball go to, oh, you're obviously you obviously hate Jews and you're a racist. Right. So, switching gears for a second, one of the things that I wanted to do is I wanted to, if anybody couldn't tell, I wanted to make sure that we introduced you guys to our audience, and I want to give you guys a chance to talk more, because it's all I do is talk. Everybody has to tell me shut the fuck up. I wanted to give you guys to talk a little bit, because even I don't know. Even though I'm sure Rib, you told me, and I probably just forgot, you know, but how this whole thing started for you, you know, what you do, how you do it and stuff like that. And then we'll get into the, you know, how people can reach out to you and stuff like that. But I want to hear your story, and I'm sure our audience wants to hear your story as well.
Well, I started out being a dickhead atheist online. I was that guy who was like post atheist memes and get people to comment on them and then just like start like a comment war. And then it just kind of like naturally just kind of evolved to YouTube. I think I kind of always wanted to start YouTube. I just didn't really kind of know what I wanted it to be about. And so as soon as I kind of found something that I was kind of good at, which was arguing back with Christians, it was just like a natural evolution that I just made it to YouTube. And we started off doing like podcasts where we would just like pick just like a bunch of just random stuff and then start just talking about them, and people would comment in and we'd reply to the live comments and stuff like that. And
this was back in the day before we had the ability to have to bring people to add into the call, like as such, like Jones, right. Had to reply to live comments, so that's, we had to do both halves of the voice as such, like. But
yeah, so yeah, so and kind of like from that, it was just kind of like, okay, well, we're already replying to live comments, so why not, you know, like get them in, and so it's in kind of real time, and so yeah, it just kind of became a call-in show from then, and we still do the podcast. We do the podcast more than the call-in shows, but yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
It just kind of gave me an avenue to rant and to complain, which is my favorite thing to do. So,
yeah.
Yeah. For me, I'm just kind of, I like to think myself as the guy that's along for the ride as such. Stephen's always the person that's really into religion and theology and stuff like that. I'd have a similar mindset to you guys. I would be atheist in perspective, but I never really put much thought into it. Why? It just kind of made sense to me. The inverse would be true, is in that Catholicism, which I was raised in, didn't make sense to me, and then nothing else of that nature made sense to me. So it's like, okay, this is where I am now. But in terms of the show, as particularly the call-in shows, I really enjoy it because it allows me exposure to people I wouldn't normally ever run into in my everyday life.
Sure.
In terms of speaking with especially an American audience, you don't get your brand of, let's say I forgot you're Canadian, my apologies. You don't get your North American.
I'll always give people that one. You can call me American once, but that's it.
Okay, that's a North. But you don't get the North American brand of wacky in terms of religion that you get over here.
Sure. Yeah.
You just don't. And it's fascinating to hear. And just getting those different perspectives is just so fascinating that I enjoy doing the call-ins. And the podcasts we do are always really good fun. It's a good mixture of some religion stuff, some politics stuff, some just current events. And, you know, we generally try to get in new people. We aim for a new guest host every time we do a podcast. So it's always get, you know, new, fresh perspectives and stuff like that. So it's, between the call-in show, the podcast, and the more structured debates, that's, they're the kind of three pillars of the channel that we want to kind of pursue going forward. But, if you do go onto our channel, I'm sure Stephen will provide the links and such of that. You'll see that we only have a couple of videos on there at the minute. We have been doing it going back to 2016, I think it was, Stephen. But because of YouTube bullshittery, for no reason, the fucking account got banned, and no manner of escalating it with Google will get it unbanned. So that's 4 years' work essentially down the drain.
Oh fuck, that's brutal.
Yeah, it was tough. It was actually kind of why I started kind of branching out to, there was one other channel that's actually live right now. He kind of does like an off-brand sort of like an interview. It's sort of like a mixture, like a perfect blend of like an interview and a chat. Kevin, me and you have been on the channel, Math Pig.
Math Pig.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
He's interested in having you on, Michael, by the way.
Oh, interesting. Cool.
So we kind of went to places like there. I went to MDD because it was just kind of like, I kind of saw it as like, yes, it was the opportunity to be on like a bigger channel and do more debates and stuff. But it was also kind of for like selfish reasons of kind of like promoting the channel like much, much quicker than like organic growth would have kind of gotten. That's kind of why I kind of went to places like that, just to kind of get the channel kind of back to somewhat of where it was before.
Yeah. And I think from our perspective as well, it's kind of like a safety net against, for whatever reason, if it does get banned again in the future. We weren't spouting weird, like, ridiculous shit. Like, we're just talking normal stuff, like the level that we've had on this particular discussion. But I think that we're now more focused on integrating ourselves with the network of like-minded other channels.
Yeah.
So that if something like this does happen again, at least we have the safety net to draw attention to the fact. And secondly, if it does happen, to rebuild far more quickly. Whereas Stephen, as you said, the first time round it was so organic. It was just people found us by accident through iFunny, that app you mentioned, that you used to shitpost on.
That's what it was.
Shit posting.
You're very good at it. How many fucking thousands of followers did you have? 3,000 or something?
Three and a half thousand subs.
Yeah.
So I'll actually just whilst you're talking about it there, I'll go on to, because I still have the app. I haven't been on it in like months, probably. I haven't posted anything in months.
Yeah, it is really interesting. It's funny we talk about that. So the first thought is, if I lost 4 years of anything, I'd put my head through a wall.
I'm so annoyed.
I don't know how I would react to something like that. When I had our ISP over here switched the way they were doing things, and they went to this whole new, basically, where everything is internet based. So all of the television is internet based. All of the internet is, of course, internet based, and so on and so forth. And I went, I ranted about this, I think, on Facebook maybe a little bit, but actually, I'm not 100% sure. Anyway, I did this whole brand new thing, and they gave us all this new equipment. And so I did a speed test, because I'm like, oh, this is the new cool thing, right? So I'm going to test everything before, and then I'm going to see how much fucking way better it is afterwards. So I'm in my little studio here, and I tested everything out. And before I flipped the switch to turn everything off, on Wi-Fi, I was at about 350 Mbps download speed. So switched everything over to, like, this is like way better system, right? It's new. It's the latest, greatest thing. 17 Mbps. And I almost took my MacBook and turned it around and folded it backwards, because I was like, this, you know, like. And so then when I called the ISP, I'm like, switch everything back. They said, oh, sorry, you can't do that. You know, it's like taking the blue pill in the Matrix. You can't go back. And I'm talking about, I mean, no. I said, no, you don't understand. This is only like an hour old. You can unflip that switch. No, we can't unflip that switch. Sorry. So I was going through this whole thing, and they had these new routers, and I had a mesh Wi-Fi system that like enveloped the house in Wi-Fi, right? And they said, well, you can't use that with the new ones. So I'm like, well, and so then I talked to all these different realms of technical support. And finally, I wasted enough people's time in talking to them that I talked to the right person. And they said, oh, you can totally hook your mesh system back up. So I got all that hooked up again. And I'm not an IT guy at all. And so now I'm back. And as we're talking now, I ran a speed test in the background, and it's about 380 Mbps. So it's everything's good and solid and stuff like that. But I mean, that was over just like an ISP thing. If I had lost all of the content, like I have four redundant drives for all of the stuff that we do on the CA.
We need to start doing that as well, Stephen. We need to start doing that.
Yeah.
So that if my computer exploded, I would have a cloud backup, and I have two hard drive backups.
Yeah.
So just because I don't know what I'd do. Like, my wife would have to come visit me in the war, and I'd just be sitting rocking and I'd be talking
in
to my thumb. I'd be talking to my thumb. So I can't understand how all that stuff goes, but it totally makes sense, Rib, what you said a minute ago about wanting to get out there. It's like there is, you know, and I'm prepared to admit, I have no problem admitting that it's a little bit of an ego stroke, you know, when you see it out there and stuff like that. I stopped paying attention. One of the things, I don't know if you guys have found this at all, but you know, you get on, you know, a couple of iTunes, you get on iTunes, you get on a couple of other, these Podbean and this other kind of stuff. And there are ways to kind of pull all the data together, but it's time consuming and I'm lazy. So basically I started looking at a couple of different ways, and when you put all these numbers together, and when you look at, you know, the numbers, like, wow, that's, you know, I'm proud of myself. I'm proud of the work that, like, Dean and I have done to get this thing to where it is. So I don't think having a little bit of ego, I don't see that as a negative at all.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong in being proud of the work that you've achieved. Yeah. Nothing at all wrong with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how can, I'll have to reach out, or if you're talking to MathBig, I can't remember his actual name, but feel free to pass along my email or MathBig, if you watch this, theca@rogers.com. And we'll set something up for sure. But, okay, so a couple things that I wanted to ask you. We didn't get into this too much, Rib, and I'm curious as to your standpoint as well, Kevin. So when you come across someone like me who says the Christian God doesn't exist, What are your impressions? Because I take the I take the philosophical, like, so, and it's funny because there's the kind of two definitions, right? Dictionary definition: lack of belief in a god or gods. Philosophical is more the position that a god, you know, doesn't, you know, does or doesn't exist. And I take that hard line stance. And it was after talking actually to Steve McCrae that I started to delve more into philosophy from this. And I have no problem saying the Christian God doesn't exist.
Christian God.
Yeah, Christian God doesn't exist.
I can get on board with that.
Yeah, Christian God doesn't exist.
Yeah.
I can get on board with that. I think that my kind of gut reaction, if somebody says that, is to kind of do what I would do if somebody said the kind of opposite, that the Christian God does 100% exist, which is two words, prove it.
Yep.
Because, like, and it's brilliant if you can do it. Well, you're saying that you, I mean, like, not to necessarily put words in Michael's mouth, and you can, of course, correct me if I'm wrong, but I mean, like, you would kind of say that, like, you know that the Christian God, like, doesn't exist, right?
Yeah, for sure. So let me unpack it.
If you know that, then show, like, prove to me how.
Sure.
How you know that?
Sure. So for your YouTube audience, I'll go into it really briefly. So, looking at the philosophical foundation of fallibilism, being that I can have knowledge without having absolute certainty, it's three prongs. First, the Bible is wrong. It doesn't matter what you say, the Bible is wrong. The Bible makes claims that are absolutely demonstrably false, right? Axe heads can't float. You can't blow horns at a wall and have it fall over. People aren't made from dirt and ribs. The sun can't stand still in the sky. It makes claims that we can know and we can show are absolutely fucking wrong. When you're talking about the Christian God, the Bible is all you've got to go on. Okay, so you have to use the Bible as your foundation. And when a book makes claims that are absolutely demonstrably false, it puts everything on shaky ground to start with. Second, if you look at the Christian God, its morality is logically contradictory, right? 1 John 4 says that God is love. Okay, 1 Corinthians 15 defines love as kind and patient, etc. Right? That is not what we see from the Christian God. We see him fucking destroying the planet. We see him fucking killing, telling people to kill babies, slice open babies with swords, sending she bears to maul children for calling someone bald. Now, mind you, I've wanted to do that myself, but I still haven't done it. So you have to be able to laugh a little bit, right? This is morally contradictory. Because as someone who I'm sure Kevin, like, you know, I'm sure you have people in your life that you love and you would not do these things. And you touched on this in the last episode when it's like, can you prove someone loves you? You know, like, based on all the evidence, yes. And you would never do these things, even if you had the capacity. So this shows a logical contradiction. And, you know, Maddox, who loves logic, you know, would say that, you know, logic. Well, from a logical perspective, if something has a contradictory nature, it can't exist. And third is the absolute fucking fact of evolution. Doesn't matter what you think, evolution is a fact. Absolutely a fucking fact. And when you tie those three things together and all you have to fall back on is the Bible to reference the Christian God doesn't exist. And from a fallibilistic perspective, I'm prepared to admit, like, I believe I have knowledge that the God doesn't exist. The only caveat that I'll throw in is I could be wrong, but you're going to have to demonstrate based on these three mountains of evidence to the contrary, that you've got something to knock those over. And that's it.
What's your view on a general theistic other power?
Not evidently. I mean, like we don't have, so, and I've referenced this in the debates, and it's not my thought. I don't remember where I read it. It may have been from Matt Dillahunty. And I'll happily, you know, steal it from him, even though he doesn't love me that much. We are evidently blocked from testing the supernatural and confirming any type of supernatural causation. We don't have the capacity to do any of that. So there's nothing that can even bear any testing. We don't have anything to put under a microscope or anything. So to make a supernatural claim is just vacuous. Could there be something supernatural? Sure, there could be. But is it a god? I don't think so.
This is likely to be aliens, like, isn't it?
Really, yeah. Actually, I think alien life in some kind is way more probable. Yeah. Right? 400 billion stars in our galaxy. Right? Mm. You know, it is statistically, I think, inevitable that there are other systems with a planet in a Goldilocks zone that where life's not going to be us, right? Like it's not us, but some other type of life, whether it's all, you know, blobs of something moving around or it's all big, just furry creatures running around. But I think it is unbelievably myopic to think it's just us.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah,
with that.
Yeah. I think based on like the sheer probability alone, given the fact that like we've only tested what like a tiny fraction of like this universe,
tiniest of fractions,
the chances that we are like the only planet with some sort of life on it. Like, that's just there are some things where you kind of have to like back them up with like evidence and you have to kind of, you know, like prove, you know, like why you've arrived at this. There are some things that I believe based on the fact that it just doesn't sit right.
Like the analogy I like for this one is that like, okay, you're trying to find a marble on a beach. Do you know a marble? Like you play marbles as a kid. Yeah. You play one, though, you have to find one of those on the beach. And you take a plastic shovel and you dig into that and you sift through it. Well, no marble there, so it mustn't exist.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Because, I mean, we've only been able to test the tiniest fraction of the tiniest fraction. There's so much we can't see and haven't seen. And, you know, I mean, the way light travels and everything else like that, it just doesn't. Yeah, I mean, it's more likely that something exists. Sadly, just because of the distances we're talking about, humans probably won't discover it before we're gone.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, like that, and that's, you know,
like sad fact. Yeah.
So it's nice to put a way to put a fucking damper on everything.
I sort of always kind of find the kind of like general conversations between theists to be sort of like a game of tennis or something like that, where you're just like constantly just like swatting back and forth of like the whole thing where like Christians will say, well, like, how did you rule out supernatural causes? I always come back to them with, well, how did you rule them in?
Yeah.
Because we don't have a way of testing anything to be supernatural. So therefore we can't, like, by kind of like working backwards, we can't then say that the cause of this was supernatural, because we don't have anything there to test to see if it was supernatural.
Yeah.
So I'm ruling it out because you can't rule it in.
Yeah. You guys know that twat waffle, Cameron Bertuzzi, Capturing Christianity.
Yes. I was just going to say,
I'm surprised he hasn't blocked me, on Twitter, but he's always, you know, like supernatural, supernatural, supernatural. And I've asked him one question probably 50 times. And that is, you know, like he loves Kalam, and more specifically, he likes William Lane Craig's expansion on the Kalam. Cause the original Kalam was, everything begins to exist as a cause. Universe began to exist. Universe has a cause. I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with that. And the question I'm asking is, how did you determine it wasn't a natural cause? That's it. How did you determine it wasn't natural? And of course he's not going to answer, because he doesn't engage. His minions do, but he doesn't engage. He won't engage. And I think that's because he's about as sharp as a spoon. He's like the ultimate keyboard warrior. He's got a fucking YouTube channel, all this other stuff, and he doesn't engage with a motherfucker. Not if you don't share his view, he will not fucking engage with you at all, because he's not prepared to answer even a small question. That's just my heathen opinion, but yeah. Okay, so it's one of the things that's important to me is, if everybody listening to this, it's that's that's in quote unquote our audience. I'm going to make sure that all the links get into the podcast description on how you can find Rib and Kevin's Discord and YouTube channel. But I want you to put it out there also, guys, just so that it's people having, you know, a record of you saying it too. How can people find you if they want to get a hold of you?
Type into YouTube, RIB debates, because the name of the channel came from the old George Carlin bit. So like, if you type in like the name of my channel, you're just gonna get the comedy bit. So like Rib Debates or something like that. You can type in. Of course, on MDD as well, there's me there, all the links there. Discord, my link is, I don't actually think you can, like, can you search on Discord, like, try and,
that was going to be my next question. I know server. I know fuck all about Discord.
I actually don't think that you can, unless it's built, like, I don't know, unless you, like, I don't know, like, pay for Nitro or something like that. I don't know. Anyway,
well, I'll make sure a Discord link's in the description of the podcast.
Cool, thank you. So yeah, we are not regular pollsters at all.
No. We have conflicting job schedules, and that's
I work different days and different times and stuff like that. Yeah. So it's basically just as soon as I get a weekend free,
right,
that's when we go live. So
and the fact of the matter is that it needs to both coincide when we're both free, and also because so much of our audience is North American, get a time that is applicable to get call-ins from US Canadian call-ins.
Right.
It needs to be disgracefully late on our side, like at 11, 12 o'clock at night. Like, so like if I've got work the next day, I can't be sitting up to 3 o'clock in the morning. So
well, of course,
So we start at 11. I think the latest that we went, I think it was the Darth Dawkins call.
I think that we
hung up from that call and we ended that stream
before or something.
I think it was closer to 3:30 in the morning.
3:30, 4:00 or something like that, yeah.
Yeah, but considering that we started at 11, we had been going for 4 hours. Like,
that's obscene.
Do you remember that? We were ready to call it a night. And then Darth Dawkins calls in and talked and wrecked our heads for an hour and a half.
That's brutal.
I do remember that.
Yeah. So a couple of rapid fire questions. Best caller you ever had?
The giant guy. I love the giant guy.
The giant guy.
I can't remember his name, but he talked about how he believed giants were real and that there's evidence for giants. I didn't believe a word what he said, but it was so fascinating to hear what he thought was real.
So giants, you mean like you're talking about the Nephilim from the Bible?
Yeah.
Or
yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Okay. Nephilim. All right. Yeah, they're not real. Yeah,
I know. It's funny.
My favorite caller, I think, was Doulos. We've always had very good conversations with him. We've agreed on basically nothing,
right?
But he was actually able to engage and have a conversation,
right?
He was a pre-sup, so like, yeah, it kind of has to change your tactic a little bit or like something like that, but just kind of grading it on the quality of the conversation. I think it kind of has to go to Doulos.
Okay, interesting. Okay, biggest piece of shit caller ever.
Darth.
That was quick.
If you said in unison that time,
that was quick. I got that in stereo on my end. It was spectacular. Yeah, he is a special kind of dick. When I was on MDD with him, after James pushed the stop button, we engaged for a couple minutes afterwards, like, hey, you know, and the same thing he did with us, right? You know, I'll send you guys Google Drive with the blah, 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 and all that other stuff. And Darth invited me to his Discord. And I said to him, I said,
the real politics one. Yeah.
I don't know what it was. It was at the, Atheism Helpline or Atheist Helpline.
That's part of Real Politics.
It is? Like, oh, okay.
His, it's his little area that he has in there. He's basically like the admin of that room.
Like
he has total control, and nobody else in that server who is technically above him can actually change anything that he does in that area.
So he invited me in there, and I said, "Are you fucking crazy?" I said, "I could barely get a word in edgewise with you here. You think I'm gonna go somewhere where you're in control?"
Yeah, where he has mod powers and he can like mute you and everything at the fucking drop.
Which
of
is
mat,
the same
which he does
yeah.
consistently.
Yeah, which is the same reason why if on some weird planet, if we were to ever to engage with someone like Maddox again, there's no way I'd ever go to his YouTube channel.
Yeah.
There's no way I would ever go somewhere where he has the capacity to modify, because I don't trust, and this is weird, but I've had this experience with a few people. I would do it with Psy. Like if Psy had a YouTube channel, I'd go on his channel. I wouldn't be worried about him changing things around.
Mm.
But I had a few conversations with one guy named Ed Dingus. Pardon me.
I've heard that name.
Yeah, he's a...
I've heard that name.
He's special. He came on. He was on the podcast twice. He was on once by himself, and then he came on with another guy, somewhat more famous YouTube apologist named Dustin Seegers. And they came on together, and he got super mad, like he got super butthurt, because I wouldn't go on to his podcast called The Reformed Rant. And I said, I do not trust you not to edit what I'm saying to fit your narrative.
Mm.
And I found this sadly with a lot of Christians. Everybody who like I do virtually unless somebody really really. Actually, the only time I've ever done it is with David Fitzgerald, who's an author. He came on the podcast and I asked him a question and he was like, and it was like a solid five count. He's like, oh, can you please edit this out? I'm like, yeah, sure. No problem. So I edited that part out, but I don't do fuck all editing wise. Cause I'm not that smart. I do the recording, you know, I convert it and I upload it and that's pretty much it. And I've told everybody like you will always, anyone who comes on here, you have a, you know, fair and equal forum. You will never be muted. I will never change anything that you say or edit anything to make you sound like an idiot. If you sound like an idiot, you've done it all by yourself. but increasingly after I have these conversations with Christians, like I would never go on Maddox's channel or Smokey's channel because I don't trust them. They have demonstrated to be of such a demonstrated themselves to have such a low moral character.
Mm.
And that's, some people say that's awful lofty for a couple of atheists to say. But I wouldn't trust them. I wouldn't trust them to be honest with the content.
Yeah, you're right to do so. Like just how much they had just stooped in the ad hominem tax and just the general bullshittery of those three debates. Like you wouldn't put anything past those two fuckers.
Yeah,
you just wouldn't.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't know. I just felt like it was just.
Don't censor
I felt sorry for James quite a lot because I went back onto the original video on MDD's channel and like of the like hundreds of comments that were there, like 90% of them were all just shitting on Maddox and John.
Yeah.
Yeah.
90% of them. And it was kind of like, you know, like James is a Christian and it's just like, I've always kind of, I really want to ask him this of just like, how do you react to people like John or like Smokey who are assholes and who represent what you believe?
Yep.
You know, like, are you a little bit ashamed? Like, do you actually want to have them back on? Like all, I don't know. It's just. I did just kind of feel sorry for James.
Yeah, it's funny. Whenever I'm talking to a Christian, there's always a few questions, and I always tell them that it's confidential, so I won't share any of the stuff. But there's always a few questions that I ask. Like every time I talk to a Christian, I ask them if they supported Trump, right? And I always ask them a few questions, like you know, Trump supporter, or you know, how do you feel about this? How do you feel about that? And it's very interesting to hear some of the different answers. And like I said, when I spoke to James, he's just like such a genuine and kind person. And yeah. like I said before, even though it was me completely projecting, I think you're right. I think that there was a bit of like, fuck guys, like do a better, like I'm a Christian, do a better job of representing me. I truly believe that that is the case. The one thing I didn't do, the one thing we haven't done yet, and I wanted to open, because I know this is going onto your YouTube channel as well, but did you have any shit you wanted to ask me or stuff like that? Because I know this is also going out to your audience. Just like totally fucking throw you under the bus there. Hey, come up with something.
No, you're fine.
What got you into this whole being a contrary atheist online?
Well, it's interesting. Well, my wife would say I'm a contrarian in life, but right. I think it's I enjoy the discussion. I enjoy the argument, and not for the sake of arguing. I am completely okay with being wrong, but you can't just say I'm wrong. You got to be able to show me how I'm wrong. And I'll say this a lot. I remember I said this a while ago. I said, because Shannon will come on, my wife will come on to the podcast sometimes when either, you know, I want to get a woman's perspective on something. We had a podcast about a year ago with a guy who came on saying abortion should be totally illegal in every sense. And I told her, I'm not doing this podcast unless you come on, because I'm not just going to be a bunch of guys sitting around talking about abortion. I want to have a woman's perspective. Mm-hmm. And my wife is one of the smartest people that I know. And I fucking interviewed Lawrence Krauss. And I'll say that to people, like, and my wife is still, she's one of the smartest people I know. And so, but she's smart in a way that she keeps me on my toes and she doesn't let me get away with any kind of bullshit. So she's a barometer for me in a lot of ways. But what really got me into it, honestly, was I'd sat around for a long time thinking, oh, I'm thinking about this. My wife was like, you've been talking about this. Why don't you just start a podcast? And so I sent my friend and partner Dean a message like, I'm starting a podcast. You want in? And he's like, sure. The next day I went out and bought all the shit, got everything set up. And a week later we did our first episode. And it's been an evolution of a kind in that it was first just, you know, talking about different, you know, kind of atheist topics and so on and so forth. And then we took, if anyone listens to most of the episodes, it are Dean and I, where I print out a bunch of news stories and we just talk about the dumb shit religious people do and laugh about it. And that's a lot of fun. And then we said, okay, you know, let's get some other people involved. We started getting other, having some guests on, and it started off with Christians, and that was the most fun. Was having Christians on, but I've had other discussions with people. We have the equivalent of a speaker's corner here in Toronto. It's called Young Dundas Square, and people will go there and they'll get up on their milk crates and they'll start talking about how we're all going to burn in hell and all this other stuff. And they're always on one side of speak, you know, on Young Dundas Square, and on the other side are the Muslims telling about how I need to accept, you know, Allah as Muhammad as his prophet. And I just want to say, like, why don't you guys work this shit out, and then I'll just talk with the I'll just talk with the one of you that's left over. You know, and anyone who is a friend of mine on Facebook, I always do as a happy Sunday Heathens post, where I'll find something about something silly about religion or something that, you know, Christopher Hitchens quoted or Aaron Raw or any of these other people, and I'll put it out there, and the tagline is Happy Sunday Heathens, and you know, lots of topical things came up there and discussions and so on and so forth. And so it just, I guess with same as you guys, it just became this organic thing where the podcast has kind of shifted. And I get asked a lot of times, like, you know, why don't you do it on YouTube? And I'm like, laziness mostly. This is so much easier and I've gotten fairly decent at this. Dean is the voice of reason. He's more science minded, whereas I, you know, take more of the religious stance and the biblical stuff. I know a little bit about science, but he's much smarter than I am when it comes to the science stuff. And it just seems to flow to flow well. It's also fun to be a contrarian sometimes.
It is.
Yeah.
It's fun when somebody says, oh, you know, this thing, I'm like, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, like just to watch, you know, the look on their face. I wear an atheist themed t-shirt pretty much 7 days a week. I can't do it at work with the work that I do, but when I'm not wearing what I have to wear for work, I'm wearing an atheist themed t-shirt. And I've got some pretty outlandish ones. Like one of my favorites and my wife's least favorite is God is not great in big fucking bold letters. And she'll be like, do you have to wear that one? And it was funny because just another side story. I told you guys I never fucking shut up.
You're fine, dude.
Yesterday we were attending one of my wife's friend's weddings on a Zoom call, right? In the age of, you know, 2020, got a limited get together, stuff like that. So they were able to have a small gathering, live, like in person. And then everybody else was online. So it was a massive Zoom call with like 200 participants or something like that. And I was wearing my God is not great. And so my wife and I are sitting side by side and we have the video on and she's like, oh fuck, you're wearing that shirt. And it was funny because, then, you know, the woman who was performing the service started talking and we had the microphone muted, but I'm just like, what's she doing talking? You know, 2 Timothy 2:12 tells women to sit down and shut the fuck up. What the hell are you doing? And stuff like that. She's just like, oh, man, just, yeah. So, it's always interesting, but the shirt I'm wearing today says, you know, I've read the Bible, that's why I'm an atheist. We were in the grocery store about a month and a bit ago, and this woman walked up to me and she kind of did one of those up and downs, and she's like, oh, that's an interesting shirt. I'm like, oh, what's interesting about it? And she said, well, I've read the Bible and that's why I'm a Christian. I'm like, well, what part? And so I started having this conversation. My wife turned around and just fucking walked away. Yeah, just she turned around and just walked away.
Conversation in the shop. Like,
yeah, just
beside the bread and the eggs.
It was actually in the beer and wine aisle. But yeah, basically.
Oh, it makes more sense.
Yeah, but it's I love having the conversations because I'll say like have these people say, oh, you know, why don't you believe? And be like, well, why don't you believe? Like, you know, like why is it that you feel this way? And it's always anecdotal. It's always the same thing. And one of the things that I like to say, for anyone who's been in the atheist game for a while, knows the name David Smalley from the podcast Dogma Debate. He's since kind of gone the way of the paywall, and it's hard to hear or see almost any of his content without paying for it. But before he did that, he was having a conversation with someone, and one of his taglines was, never pass up the opportunity to have a conversation, because the next mind you change could change thousands. And I've always held on to that. And I've always said, like, I don't have the kind of power that sometimes people think I have. Like, oh, you think you're going to change my mind? No, I don't have that kind of power. But I can maybe plant a seed that you might think about. And maybe in a period of time from now, you'll pick up the Bible and say, it fucking really does say that. Jesus Christ. And maybe that will be an eye opener. That's it. That's about it. Was that a long enough answer to your question, Kevin?
I kind of prefer that. Wasn't really a good beginning, middle, and end, to be honest. Like, but, you know, just
Jesus
it's good enough, I suppose.
Okay, I'll start over. No. so, yeah, but seriously, anybody who's watching this on your YouTube channel, feel free to send an email. Love to have conversations with you guys. I really enjoyed this. I thought this was really, really great. It was a nice way to tie up. To tie up three rounds of fuckery. It was a nice way to finally meet you, Kevin. I swear.
Likewise.
Dean is not tied up in my basement. He really exists. but we joke, right? You know, the kids ruin everything, but he has a great family, but there was just sadly something today that got in the way. So I think what we'll do is we're at an hour and 34 minutes. So that's about average for us. We average about 90 minutes. So okay. It's about average for us. How long do you guys are you guys normally streaming for?
It's 2 hour mark, isn't it?
But yeah, about the 2 hour mark. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry to cut you so short.
I know. We're only just getting started.
Yeah.
Getting kicked out already.
Yeah.
Could I ask you just one more question, Mike?
Oh, of course. Yeah.
What did you think of Smokey's response in the third debate after the abortion topic and after I was visibly choked up? What did you think about what Smokey said after that?
He was a total cunt about it. Mm. Yeah.
Because
it was not hard to tell that you were affected by what was said. Mm. And like I said to you in emails, I felt like I could not, like, I accept the fact I could not have known, but I still felt bad because, like, fuck, man, like, here's somebody who through the course of being said, like, what has been said, there has been an effect on this person that mm-hmm. I have, you know, developed this online relationship with and that I care about. And now I wish that hadn't happened. He took that just as an opportunity to be a dick.
Yeah.
And he, again, in the same way that's true with Homo Santa, in the same way with everything else that he said, his true colors shone through. And he showed himself to be the wretch of a human that he really is. That's what I think. I just remember
listening to what he had said and just being so thankful that I didn't say anything.
Yeah.
Because after he had said what he said, it just couldn't stop but keep going over in my head of just like, that's what I was afraid of.
Yeah.
Like, had I have actually said anything and had I have actually gotten like that personal and stuff like, and kind of, you know, shared why it was such a personal topic to me, of just being like, that's what was like, I even said it, so to kind of steal the line from, you know, John, oh, I'm a fucking prophet.
Yeah.
I had said that I don't think that I'm going to get away with what I'm going to say unscathed. Like, there he was, like a fucking exhibit A to come out directly after I finished talking to be like, and here's why you didn't say anything.
Yep.
It was almost comical in like a twisted way. Cause like, it's just like, you know, here's what I'm afraid of and here's why. And it's like, it's directly, there was no like gap. It was just like, you know, I don't know.
And it's like in the email that I share with you afterwards, and this is not something, I'm not telling anything that hasn't already been said before on the podcast. Mm-hmm. My wife and I, like, so my daughter's 23, like I said, in the podcast, or in the YouTube debate, my current wife is not her mother. My current wife, Shannon, and I, we went through IVF for 7 years, spent $90,000 trying to have a baby. And it didn't work. And so we had to finally stop, and we got a dog. And so just, you know, to understand that, you know, it's like sometimes these other things, like these other situations happen, but it doesn't, it's not all as neat and tidy. And this is one of the things that gets me about sometimes about a Christian's approach to something is it's so black and white. Like, it's just this or that. It's all nuance is lost. And so when you have someone like yourself who had, you know, had a difficult situation, you know, like, and I'm not going to talk about, but when, what you said in the email, like when you had that horrible situation, and what I will share is our situation, because we had virtually exactly the same thing happen, where we went for, we did the IVF transfer and my wife got pregnant. And then we were going for the appointments, and we went for one appointment, and there was a heartbeat, and my wife was elated. She was like, because she didn't believe she was ever going to be able to have a child, and this was the best thing that ever happened in her whole life. And so really cool. We go for the next appointment, and the fetus is not progressing properly. And so we had spent $90,000, and then she had to stop all of the medication and allow her body to just do what it was going to do, which was to naturally terminate the pregnancy. And that was after going through all of, like, after going through all this and all of the money and all the, like, having the hormone injections and all these things that we had to go through and all the medications that she had to be on. The irony was, is that we went through all of this and she was given two options. She said, we can either schedule an abortion or we can allow your body to take care of this like we know it will. Because that's just how the body works, right? And she's like, I'll be goddamned if I'm going to go through all this to have an abortion. And so she yeah. allowed her body. We decided that, you know, or she made the final decision, but we allowed her, the body to do, and things took care of itself, you know, that way. And it, sadly, based on what we knew, it was for the best, which sucks. But there's no nuance when the Christian perspective. There's no nuance, and that's a long, drawn-out way of saying that, but there's no nuance to the Christian perspective. And for Smokey to basically be predatory in how he decided to, you know, kind of give that dig was just the most foul thing a person could do. I would never dream of doing something like that to someone. Mm.
It was actually in the email that Kevin, I had asked you to bring up. It was in one of the emails that I had sent back to him. But, you know, like all of the things that he had said, not just in our debates, but with Skylar as well, you know, like calling him Homo Santa and everything else like that. And like the fact that he like went out of his way to like emphasize words like disgusting and, you know, stuff like that. And like calling us and our worldview, like
disgusting, deplorable, all those things.
Yeah. Yeah. All of these things. It basically like that's kind of how the email went, where I was just kind of describing all of these things and kind of saying a few of them. And it was just like, It was leading to this final line where I said, I was a better Christian than you when I was one, and I still am.
Yeah, without question. Yeah, without question.
In any of the shit, and I don't believe in any of the, you know, like Christian morals or anything else like that, but I'm exemplifying what your book says to do, and to have empathy and stuff like this more than you are.
Yeah. Yeah. Far, you are a far better human than he seemingly has the capacity to be.
Yeah. And it was just that. And then the fact that like he says these things with like a confidence, like he knows that he's right.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying them as, I don't know. I don't know. Smokey's, I don't want to say evolution, de-evolution from the first to the last one kind of surprised me the most.
Yeah.
Hang on just
1 second.
Yeah, sure.
Something happened there. Don't know what that was. Sorry. So was there anything else you wanted to talk about?
No, I kind of think that's it.
Okay. Well, we'll do our little, I'll do my little closing out that we usually do and then push the stop button and then say a proper goodbye offline. So I'm not sure how you want to do yours, whether you want to keep it going past that or whether you want to do the same thing. But at an hour and 44 minutes, I think that's enough trouble for us to get into for this week. We'll be back at you again, hopefully very, very soon. Dean will be back. I promise I'll let him out of the basement. And we'll be back with more irreverence. And there's so much going on that I have a stack of news for us to go through. So it should be lots and lots of fun. But until that time, I have been Michael. This is where you say you have been who you are.
I have been Rib.
I have been Kevin.
And we shall talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thanks, guys.
This has been the CA. Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, please drop by the iTunes store and give us a review and subscribe to get the latest episodes as soon as they release. Just a reminder, the views expressed on this broadcast are solely those of the hosts and are for entertainment purposes only. Never take advice from two guys expressing an opinion on a podcast. That's just silly. See you back here soon.